Morning, everyone. Today's Daf Megillah, Daf Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf will be learned with Zeichon Ishmael, Slolos Lupin Zaltzman. The mitzvah der abundance to read the Megillah on the 14th and 15th day of Adar, as we've already been discussing since the Mishnah. There is a convenience that's made for the farm for those that live in small villages. Today we're going to learn the Mishnah together in terms of what exactly the definition is of a small village. But if you're a villager, so then you have a convenience in which you could read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday that is earlier for reasons which we discussed and actually we're going to review again this morning. Bit of a discussion yesterday's daf in terms of what happens when Purim falls out on a Friday. The confusion lies in the fact that when Purim falls out on a Friday, so that means that there's going to get somebody who's bumped. Somebody's going to get bumped from Shabbos to another day. So what day are they going to get moved to? So that was the discussion yesterday's daf. The walled cities are going to be moved to either Friday, they may be moved to Thursday, to Machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Okay, and the same thing is true if Purim falls down the Shabbos. Purim falls down the Shabbos again, somebody's going to get bumped. So so those who live in the Perazim, in the unwalled cities, are going to get moved. What do they get moved to? They get moved back to Friday, they get moved back to Thursday. So again, more discussion that we had in yesterday's Gemara. What has become clear in yesterday's Gemara, which we're about to discuss right now, is that we're not going to read the Megillah on Shabbos. Now the question is, why not? It's not a Malacha. There's no malacha involved in reading Megillah on Shabbos, so why not? Why not read the Megillah on Shabbos? So perhaps you already know the answer. This is a popular discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara brings this up a number of times. We are at the end of Seder Moed, and we've already heard this answer. One, two, three, four. We heard this answer four times already in Seder Moed, so this now would be the fifth time that we're hearing this answer, so we are familiar. So we pick it up in the Gemara. We are about six lines from the bottom of the Amud on Dalamud Beis. The Kuli Amma Miyas Megillah B'Shabbos Lo Karinan. So we all agree that on Shabbos we don't read the Megillah. My time and the Gemara wants to know why is that so? Why don't we read the Megillah on Shabbos? I'm Rava Kol Chayim Mikras Megillah. So Rava says, look, everyone has an obligation to read the Megillah on Shabbos. Ve'ena Kol Bekim B'Mikra Megillah, but not everyone's expert to do so. So Gzer Shem Yidlan Biyado Ve'Yelach Itzabakil Lomo Ve'Yaveren Arba'amus B'Rishus HaRabim. And the concern is that you're going to pick up the Megillah, you're going to walk with it through a Rishus HaRabim, through a public domain, and you're going to be in violation of the Malacha of Hotzah. And that is why you do not read the Megillah on Shabbos. It's a Gzer D'Rabbanan. Behind the time of the Shofar, behind the time of the Lulav, and the same thing is true of Shofar, and the same thing is true regarding Lulav. When Rosh Hashanah, or the first day of Sukkot, or for us, for that matter, any day of Sukkot, right? We have the addition of Rav Yochanan Zakkai, where we take the Lulav all 7 days. So when Rosh Hashanah or Shabbos, or Sukkot falls on the Shabbos, so then, even though there is a mitzvah to blow shofar, to take lulav, nevertheless, the chachamim said abstain because of a gzeira, because of a concern. Okay, and the discussion which the Rishonim already have, why the Gemara says yavirena dal amas b'rishas rabim, carry four amas and b'rishas rabim, as opposed to taking it from a rishas yach to rishas rabim. Why doesn't the Gemara mention that as a possible concern? Okay, but either way, it's a popular topic, but good. The answer is because of Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Rav Yosef Amar, now Rav Yosef is going to give an additional reason. Tosus points out over here on this daf, it's the last Tosus on the Amud, that Rav Yosef is not arguing with Rabba, meaning Gzeirah D'Rabbanan is Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. It's something which the Gemara has already repeated to us now five times since the beginning of Seder Moed. He's not contesting that. What he's doing is that in terms of Mikra Megillah, there's also another reason why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, in addition to the reason of Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Why do we have to give another reason? So as Tosfos points out over here, because nafka mina, a practical difference would be, let's see in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash, so there generally aren't Isurei D'Rabbanan, right? Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. There are no Isurei D'Rabbanan in Mikdash. Like by Shofar, remember we learned in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, by Shofar, you're allowed to blow Shofar in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah. Outside the Beis HaMikdash we don't, but in the Beis HaMikdash we do. Okay, and because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, so, if it were just for the reason of Rabbah, one could make the argument that, okay, we're not going to read the Megillah on Shabbos, but in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe there'd be a heter. Now, Rav Yosef is going to layer on top of this another reason why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, and it'll cover really every scenario. So, Rav Yosef says, you know why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos? Because when we read the Megillah, that's when the poor people, it's like a Pavlovian response. The poor people realize, oh no, it's Purim today. Today's the day to collect. So then when we read the Megillah, so it's going to trigger the poor people to collect. And if we're reading the Megillah on Shabbos, so people are not going to have any money to give out on Shabbos. So the Chachamim therefore move Mikra Megillah from Shabbos to an earlier time. To Machlokas we saw yesterday. But they're going to move it away from Shabbos. So another reason why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. So if the 15th falls down on Shabbos, it's going to get moved. It's always going to get moved. Just a question of when it's going to get moved to, but the Megillah is not going to be read on Shabbos, period. Tanya Nami Acha, the Gemara says we have a Brisa as well. The Brisa over here supports the idea of Rav Yosef, that together in conjunction with Mikra Megillah, there's going to be a collection for the poor. The Brisa says it very clearly, although the wording of the Brisa is a little tricky. Afapi, the opening of the Brisa says that even though. So the Gemara immediately jumps on that language. Afapi Shamru Adrabah. Mishum Damru. So the Gemara says, just in terms of a editing of the Brisa shouldn't introduce it with even though, but rather Mishum, because the Kfarim are reading the Megillah earlier, so therefore, Govan Baba Yom. We collect on that day for the poor people, and we distribute on that day. So the Gemara says, fine, the Brisa needs a little bit of editing. Hold Amru Shekfar Makdim Liyam Maknisa Govan Baba Yom, Machakim Baba Yom, and Meshayanim Shaniyim. This was by Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara does a little bit of editing. What the Brisa actually means is that because the Megillah is read a little bit earlier for the Kfarim, so the collection and distribution of money is going to be occurring on that day as well. Okay. Abba. Simcha eino noheges ela bizmana. The last part of this brisa is that when it comes to simcha, meaning when we move Purim to another day, so therefore simcha is noheg only bizmana, only in the right time. What does that mean? Simcha, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes over here, simcha, shamachol mishta, meaning that in an occasion where we're going to be moving the kriyas ha-megillah, the reading of the Megillah to a different day, but in terms of the mishta, in other words, we have a meal on Purim. It's one of the mitzvahs of Purim, is to have a meal and to imbibe at the meal, and we'll discuss the drinking at the meal either tomorrow or the day after, Daf Zayin. So anyway, but there's a mitzvah to eat and drink on Purim. So that is only bizmana, that's only in its proper time. Take a look at the next Rashi, the second Rashi on this Amud, bizmana b'yadalad. We're talking on the 14th, mitoch shi'ichov abo b'yom, akol yachid v'yachid, karen osa, afilo b'yachid, so I'm sorry, Shihi chova bo bahem akol yachav yachid karen osor afilo biyachid akol karen bo v'ika piersum neis. That Rashi is for the upcoming Gemara. Anyway, so there's a mitzvah of simcha bo bayom. Okay, so that's you'll see mass confusion in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning for our purposes, a lot of this Gemara is not lamaisa because for us, living outside of Yerushalayim or outside of a walled city, so Purim never falls on the Shabbos. So we never dislocate the reading of the Megillah away from the 14th day of Adar. Okay, that doesn't happen for us. Okay, and even as we discussed on day one of the Masechta, nowadays we don't move the Kfarim don't get this convenience that's described in the Mishnah. Okay, we don't have a Beis Din, we don't have markets and Yemei Hadin on Monday and Thursday. Okay, fine. So we already discussed that. So, but in Yerushalayim, right, for anyone who's experienced, it's possible that Purim falls out on Shabbos, meaning that the 14th of Adar falls on a Friday. So for anyone outside of Yerushalayim, so the observed day of Purim is 14th, but then in Yerushalayim itself, so then now you have exactly what we've been describing, what we've been discussing, which is that the day of Purim falls out on Shabbos itself. So what happens? So a lot of confusion when it happens, and it's what's called in Eretz Yisrael Purim Mishulash. It becomes now a three-day Purim. It's a three-day Purim because you have the 14th, and the 14th is a day of Purim, even though for those living in the walled city, it's not actually Purim itself. The 15th is Shabbos, so obviously on Shabbos, you can't read the Megillah, so you have to push it off. And then the day afterwards is Sunday, so there is a major discussion that takes place in the halacha in terms of what occurs on which day, meaning what day do you read on, what day do you have your Simcha Umishta on, and what day do you distribute funds on, and okay, so it's a lengthier discussion. But in other words, but a lot of it comes from this Gemara over here, where the Gemara says that we're going to segregate the reading and the Mishta. The reading will take place on one day, and the Mishta will take place on another day. The simple pshat in the Gemara is that the Mishta takes place on the day that it's Purim. Meaning that if I'm in an unwalled city, it's the 14th, and I'm in a walled city on the 15th. That's the simple reading of our Gemara, But again, it's a, it turns into a lengthy discussion.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. In fact, I remember one year I was in Yerushalayim on Purim, and it was Shabbos. It was a Purim Shabbos, and it's funny because in the Sidurim, I remember this very clearly. In the Sidurim, they don't have Al Anisim. So someone pointed out to me that it was an editor's mistake, meaning because the editor's thinking, the editor of the Siddur, I won't mention the publishing of the Siddur, but the editor thought, you know, Purim never falls on Shabbos, so we're not going to put Al Anisim for Purim into the Siddur. And then, accurately pointed out, yeah, that's true for everyone living outside Yerushalayim, but in Yerushalayim, it can happen, and it does happen, where Purim falls down on Shabbos, and so therefore the Al Anisim for Purim should be in the Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei as well. And if you look at pretty much any sitter, it's not there. Okay, back to the Gemara. Amar Rav, Megillah b'zman ha-korono, so afilo b'yachish lo b'zman ha-basara. So Rav says the following halacha, that if you're reading Megillah b'zmanan, the right time, meaning, so if we're living in an unwalled city, 14th is the right time, so read it b'zmana, read it, I'm sorry, afilo b'yachish. You can even read it as an individual. You do not need to assemble a minion in order to read the Megillah. You can read it as an individual. Shalom b'zmana, but if we're reading the Megillah, not in its right time. So what does that mean, not in its right time? So look at Rashi. Right? This is where I should have read the Rashis earlier. Shalom b'zmana. Sorry, b'zmana. Let's start there. Rashi, b'zmana b'yudal mitoch shi chova bo b'yom al kol yachiv yachiv karno sof ilo b'yachid al kol koren bo v'ikim pirsum neit. Rashi says, an explanation of Rav, that the reason why, if you're reading on the 14th, I don't need to assemble a minion is because everybody's reading. So everybody's reading. So even though we don't have a congregation here present, but everybody's reading, so therefore there will be Pirsum HaNeis. There will be a publicizing of the miracle, even if I read as an individual. But Shelo Bizmana, look at the next Rashi, Kegon, Kfarim HaMakim Liyam HaKnisa. Rashi says as an example, the Kfarim who read on the Monday and Thursday prior to Purim, so there, I need to put together a minion, right? Shalom b'zman ha-basar has to be with a minion, and Rashi points out, because under such circumstances, only with a minion am I going to have Pirsum HaNeis. Comes out from Rashi, seems pretty straightforward from Rashi, that Pirsum HaNeis is an objective of reading the Megillah. Okay, it seems pretty obvious, but what seems from Rashi is even one step further, meaning not only is it an objective, but it's necessary. I need to have Pirsum HaNeis. So on the day of 14th itself, Pirsum HaNeis is there, because as Rashi explained earlier, I have everyone reading. On a day where it's not Purim and I'm reading, for example, where the Kfarim are reading on the Yom HaKnisa, so there, in order to ensure that there's Pirsum HaNeis, I'm going to get 10 people together. And it sounds like from Rashi, and it sounds like from the Gemara, that if I don't have 10 people together, so then it's not going to work. Then we don't have Pirsum HaNeis, and therefore we can't read. That's what it sounds like. Rav Asi Amar, back to the Gemara, Rav Asi disagrees with Rav. So Rav Asi says that whether it is reading it in its right time, or Shelo B'zman, or not in its right time, I need to get 10 people together. Meaning Rav Asi is more machmir than Rav. Rav Asi requires a minyan, both whether I'm reading it on time or not, whether I'm not reading it on time. Now, Rav Asi is a student of Rav, correct? So it's a little bit challenging to understand how Rav Asi can argue with Rav, and let's read the next lines of Gemara just to make this question even a little stronger. So, Hava Uvde V'chash Rav Lahadar Rav Asi. There was an incident once where Rav was reading the Megillah on Purim itself, and he's thinking to himself, you know, my own position is I don't need to get a minion. But Rav Asi says you need to get a minion. So I'm going to be machmir for the position of Rav Asi. So he made an effort, he endeavored to get a minion, because Rav Asi says it's time we should get a minion. So it's interesting, makes it even more interesting, meaning that Rav Asi is a student of Rav. Rav disagrees with the student, and yet is concerned for the position of the student, and therefore endeavors to make a minion. Now, right. That part is a little bit strange. Yeah, I hear you. Now, just trying to choose my language carefully over here, is it required to make a minion in order to read the Megillah, or is it just simply an endeavor? Should we endeavor to make a minion, but if I don't get a minion, so then you could still read the Megillah. If you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos says, top Tosfos on the Amud, Mikamakam Hilchus HaKavase D'Rav. So the Tosfos says, the halacha falls like Rav, which is that if I don't have a minion, I'm still going to read the Megillah. I'll still be Yosef with the mitzvah of Megillah. And he goes on and he argues that this is in fact so, that that the halacha primarily falls like Rav, but one should endeavor in order to make a minion. And take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, where he echoes the sentiment of Tosos that one should endeavor to make a minyan, but even without a minyan, you will be reading the Megillah. Okay. Umi amar Rav Achi v'am Rav Yehuda b'reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei d'rav Purim shechalos b'Shabbos. So the Gemara points out a difficulty because we have another statement in the name of Rav where Purim falls out on a Shabbos. And again, the reading of the Megillah now is going to be moved. So Erev Shabbos Zmanam. So the statement of this, of Rav is Erev Shabbos turns into the Zman. Okay. Now, Erev Shabbos Zmanam v'ha Shabbos Zmanam. So the Gemara says, first of all, that language, that formulation, it's difficult. Erev Shabbos turns into the time. No, it doesn't. Meaning the 14th day is Shabbos. You can't change Purim. Purim is the 14th day. So what is it? What does Rav mean when he says that Erev Shabbos now is Zmanam? It turns into the time. It doesn't turn into the time. It just is that we're going to move the reading of the Megillah from the 14th back up to the 13th. So El Alav Hachi Kamar Shalob Zmanam Kizmanam Azmanam Afilo B'Yachid Af Shalob Zmanam Afilo B'Yachid. So the Gemara says ostensibly what Rav meant is that just like on Shabbos itself I could have read it as an individual, so too on Erev Shabbos I could have also read it as an individual. That presumably, again, the Gemara is speculating right now, but that is presumably what Rav meant. Look, the Gemara says incorrectly. Mikra Megillah Basara. No, Purim is not being read. It's not being read at the right time. Meaning, the Megillah itself is now being read on the 13th. So, what does Rav mean when he says that Erev Shabbos turns into Zmanam? Alamayer Shabbos Zmanam. Lafukim et the Rabbi. So the Gemara says, remember what we learned in yesterday's daf. Rabbi says that once we're moving the Kriya. So move it back to Thursday. That was the opinion of Rebbe. The Amar Hovanitzchayaros Mim Kamam Yidchul Yamaknisa. Go back to Thursday because anyway Thursday is going to be a reading day. So everybody should move back to Thursday. That's what we saw in yesterday's daf, as was the opinion of Rebbe. So Kamashwan Der Shabbos Manamhu. So what Rav is trying to make clear is that I disagree. No, I don't think you should read the Megillah on Thursday, but rather you should read the Megillah on Friday. That's all Rav meant when he says that Erev Shabbos turns into the Zman. Meaning, in contrast to the position of Rebbe, which is that you should move back to Thursday, Rav says, no, move back to Friday. That's all he meant. In terms of collecting a minyan together in order to read, so Rav would make a differentiation between reading it on the day of the 14th, reading on any other day. You read on the 14th, you don't need to make a minyan. You read it on any other day, you do need to make a minyan. Okay, Adkan. All right, so two topics of discussion that we had so far in today's daf. Number one, reading the Megillah on Shabbos, we don't, so why not? So we have the standard explanation of Rabbah, because Gzeret Rabbah, because I may pick up my Megillah and carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And on top of that, we also have layered on top of that another reason of Rav Yosef. The poor people are collecting on Purim. I read the Megillah on Shabbos, I'll have the poor people collecting, and no one's going to be giving money. So therefore, move the Megillah to another day so that there will be distribution of money to the poor. Okay? The second big discussion that we had so far is, do I need a minyan to read the Megillah? So Rav says fundamentally, when I'm reading it on the 14th, fundamentally no, but you should endeavor to make a minyan, as he was concerned for the position of Rav Asi. Okay. Mishnah. They're already up to the next Mishnah of the Masechta, the second Mishnah. Ezu Yir Gedola. What is a big city? So Kol Sheyesh Ba'asar Batlanim. So the big city, meaning, remember, in the first Mishnah we talked about big city versus farm versus the villages. Okay, so you're living in town. So what's the definition of being in town? So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Arasar Batlanim. So I have 10 people who are doing nothing. What does that mean, 10 people who are doing nothing? So look at Rashi. Asar batlanim. Shebebeis Knesset Shehein Betalin. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I'm right. I'm jumping to the Rashi and the Gemara. All right. So let's wait. I'm sorry. Preemptive strike. So let's wait. Let's get to the Gemara and then I'll discuss what the Asar batlanim are. Parchus Mekan Eretz Kfar. And if there is less than 10 people who are Asar batlanim, so now we're no longer in town. We're considered now out of town. So be'elu armo makdim and v'lo ma'achrim. Now in these scenarios, so when something gets moved, it gets moved up and not later. But elu amru makdim v'lo ma'achrim aval zman atzik kohanim b'tisha b'av chagig v'hakel ma'achrim v'lo makdimim. However, on other occasions, when something needs to get moved, it moves ahead and not gets moved back. and they are Zmanatei Kohanim, the times in which people sponsored and offered to give wood to the Beit HaMikdash. We just did Masechta Tanis. We just did this in the Mishnayos. It was in Tanis Dav Chavav, where the Mishnah over there described that there were 8 families. I know there were 9 dates, but there were 8 families who sponsored wood in the Beit HaMikdash. They were assigned a particular date in which they were given. That date was their date. And what happens when that date falls down on Shabbos? So they can't offer a carbon eitzah on Shabbos, so it's going to get pushed. Pushed up or pushed ahead. So that, the Mishnah says, pushed ahead. In addition to that, Tisha B'Av gets pushed ahead, meaning that if Tisha B'Av falls down on Shabbos, we're not going to be fasting on Shabbos. What happens? Do I push it up or push it ahead? Answer again is pushed ahead. Chagiga, the carbon chagiga, if Yontif falls down on Shabbos, and I'm not offering the carbon chagiga on Shabbos for reasons which we'll explain later on this morning, so it gets pushed ahead. And Hakel, if I have the Hakel event, which happens every 7 years, in the year after Shemitah, meaning the first year of the Shemitah cycle, on Sukkot, either the first day or last day of Sukkot, depending on the girsa that you read within Rashi. Rashi himself, there are 2 girsas in Rashi. But either way, let's say it's simple. The Sukkot after Shemitah, so we have all Jewish people assembling in the Beit HaMikdash. The king will be reading from Sefer Dvarim, from Mishnah Torah. And if that day falls out on the Shabbos, it's going to be pushed pushed ahead, not up. So in these events, we're always going to go later, not earlier. Ma'akrim v'lamakdimim.
What is the reason behind it?
I'll explain. I will explain. The Gemara is going to explain. So, now, even though we said makdimim, we push it up and we don't push it later, but nevertheless, it would be permissible to eulogize and to fast and to give matanos le'avyonim. So that means that when I'm reading the Megillah on an earlier date, so that does not turn into Purim, meaning it's just Mikra Megillah. It's just the reading of the Megillah. Again, as we discussed earlier this morning, we'll distribute our funds for that day because the poor people look towards the Mikra Megillah, but if you want to fast on that day, you want to eulogize on that day, you have permission to do so. We are just reading the Megillah, but it does not actually, it's not a Yom HaPurim. The statement of Rav Yehuda we saw earlier in the Masechta, right, the first page of the Daf, and that is that the only time that we are able to read the Megillah earlier on the Yom HaKnisa, on the day of assembly, on Monday or on Thursday, prior to Purim, is only when people usually come in on Monday and Thursday. But if the villagers do not come in on Monday and Thursday, so then they are not offered this heter of reading the Megillah earlier. Tana. Start with the Gemara. The Gemara starts off, Asar Balanim Shebebeis HaKnesses. Okay. We said the definition of a big city is that one in which there are Asar Balanim. What does that mean? So the Gemara gives a very brief description of what that means. Well, you have 10 people who found in the Beis HaKnesses. What are they doing in the Beis HaKnesses? Now we can take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Shebebeis HaKnesses shehem betalin mi malachtan v'nizonim mishel tzibor kedei lios mitzuyim b'tfila bebeis HaKnesses. So Rashi writes over here, they have a very simple purpose. Simple purpose, but important purpose. And that is to make a minyan. To make sure that there's a minyan every day in shul. So the Amar Mar, huh?
Tefillah.
Rashi says for tefillah. The Amar Mar be Meseches Brachos. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Brachos. Kevish Brachos Brachos Beis Knesset. Veino Moshe Shamasara. So Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to shul in the morning. Kaviyachol. To the best of our understanding, Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to shul in the morning, and there are not 10 people there in shul making a minyan. So Kadosh Baruch Hu then goes on to say, "Well, I'm right. I'm here, and they're not here. I'm not. That's it. I'm not coming back." So the importance of having a minyan in a community is of grand importance. It makes you, it's the definition of an Ir Gedola, of a big city. And if you don't have a minyan, so you're not a big city. That's what Rashi says. Right? Without Rashi, you could have said that the purpose of these Asar Balanim is what we would call like a kolo, meaning a group of men dedicated to learning. Right? But
strange term.
Right, correct. Balanim just simply means they're not working. And the
it's not
it means idle, but idle over here means idle from work. But the But they, but in other words, it's not that they're not doing anything. It's just that they're not supporting themselves. They're being supported by others. I mean the basic idea, but again, it's not based on this Gemara. But if you want to, you know, if you want to support it from a Gemara, this is the Gemara to support it from. However, then don't go to Rashi, because Rashi says this is all about tefillah, meaning the purpose and function of the batlanim is to make sure that there's a minyan. So that's so certainly don't use the Rashi as a support for it. Okay, next, back to the Gemara. Be'ilu amma makdimim v'lo ma'achrim. My time. Okay, so now when it comes to Mikra Megillah, so we always move, if we have to move, we always move it up. Again, there are two scenarios in which we're going to create the Megillah. Number one, Kfarim, if you're a village, so then you have an opportunity to move it up to the 11th, 12th, 13th, whichever day is the Monday or Thursday prior to Purim, like we discussed on day one of the Masechta. And the other scenario is when Purim falls on a Shabbos. So then we're going to move it up, but we're only going to move it up. We're not going to move it ahead. So, or let me be clear. We're going to move it earlier, not later, by Mikra Megillah. Amar Abi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Amar Krav, Lo Yavor. So it's based on the pasuk in the Megillah itself. Lo Yavor. Lo Yavor means the 15th day of Adar is the last day in which we read the Megillah. We do not read the Megillah after the 15th day. Under no circumstance, even if we have to move, we're always going to move earlier, not later. The Amar Abi Abba Amar Shmuel Minan Shein Monim Yamim Lashanim, and now the Gemara goes and just segues just for a moment in terms of how to count. How do I count a year? I count a year by months, not by days. Meaning, if I ask a person on the street how long is a year, I'll say 365 days. And let's say he's even more informed. Well, what about a lunar year? Okay, so 354 days. Good, he's right, but that's not how we count a year. We count a year in terms of months. What difference does it make? Meaning, this is just a technical point. So Rashi says no. Rashi says this is as it relates to making a neder. A person makes a neder. I will go a year without eating red meat. Okay, a person makes such a neder. So now, how does he count his year that he just made? He just made a neder. He's bound by the neder that he made. So how do you count the year? Count it by months. So if today is the 18th day of Tammuz, right, it is. So that means then that he won't be able to eat until next year, 18th day of Tammuz. It goes by months, not by, right. And it does not, it's not counted by days. Presumably. Although I know that's a discussion in the Darim, and I forget what the conclusion is, but I know that's a discussion. But anyway, but you don't count it by days, you count it by months. Shenem l'chashe ha-shana. Chadashim ha-tamon l'shanim v'atamon ha-yamim l'shanim. The unit of measurement for years is months, not days. V'rabbanan de'kesar mishum Rabbi Abraham minayin she'em ha-chashven sha'os l'chadashim. Similarly, when I'm figuring a month, the unit of measurement for figuring a month is always going to be days, not hours. Even though we know that a month is 12 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim, right? That is the unit measurement, that is the length of time of a month, but that's not how we count a month. We always count a month by days. How do I know that? Shenemar ad chodesh yamim. Yamim atamechashav chadashim, yatamechashav shasav chadashim. Okay? Fine. Just two tangential points of the Gemara, that when I count a year, the unit of measurement is a month, and when I count a month, the unit of measurement is days. The Mishnah told us that on four occasions, we move, if it has to get bumped, it gets bumped later, not earlier. And they are Zman Atzei Kohanim, the dates in which specific families donate wood to the Beis HaMikdash, Tisha B'Av, Chagiga, and Hakel. If these four events occur on a Shabbos, it gets moved later, not earlier. So, not mentioned in our Mishnah. In general, I mean, as a trivia question, I can think only of Tanis Esther. But this point I understand, because the Mishnah is telling us that Purim we move earlier, and in contradistinction to that, here are the things that we move later. That's just the Mishnah's basic point. Why? Right? So how do you ask me this question earlier? So why? So the Gemara explains. Tisha B'Av Atumah Puranis L'Mekadmeh. So in terms of Tisha B'Av, because Puranis, we're remembering disasters, tragedies of Jewish history. So we never make it earlier, we always push it later. We don't want to be maktim puranios. We don't want to make tragedies and calamities occur earlier on the calendar. If anything, we'd like to push it off. Okay, so that is an explanation for a fast day. And Rashi points out, it's not just Tisha B'Av, meaning it'd be true for any fast day. It'd be true for Sheva Esar B'Tammuz, for Esar B'Teves. In fact, Rashi writes, why? Right? Rashi writes it. Yeah. Look at Rashi back on the Mishnah. Rashi in the Mishnah writes, Divra Maskal Vazmana Tikohanim Va'am. So, Rashi says it would be true also for Asar B'Tevis and Shiva Asar B'Tamas, which we just did yesterday. Behind the Naka Tisha B'Av, so why are we only talking about Tisha B'Av? Mishum Dehuch Bula Botzaras VeHakol Mit'anin Bo. Because of so many tragedies that occurred in Tisha B'Av, even though the Mishnah Tanis told us that five tragedies occurred in Shiva Asar B'Tamas, but and on top of that, everyone fasts on Tisha B'Av. But Rashi reminds us of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that says that when it comes to the other fast days, they are optional. Now, cautionary note, and I'm glad this is the day after Shiva Esar B'Tammuz, but cautionary note, and that is that yes, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that the other fast days are optional, but we, the Jewish people, have accepted upon ourselves to fast. But may Iker Adin, according to the strict letter of the law, according to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, they are days in which they are optional fast. So therefore, they have less status. And that explains Rashi is the reason why our mission, our Gemara doesn't mention it, but Huadin. The same halacha would be true, that if they're going to get bumped, they're going to get bumped later, not earlier. Okay. Chagiga, Hakel. Now, an explanation of why Chagiga gets bumped and Hakel gets bumped, Mishum, Da'akatalam Azman Chiyuvayu. So the Gemara gives a very simple explanation. You can't bring the carbon Chagiga any earlier than Yontif, because there's no obligation. The obligation to bring the Karban Chagiga only begins on Yontif. So when Yontif and Shabbos coincide, I can't say, well, oh, I can't bring my Karban Chagiga on Shabbos. Okay, so I have to bring it another day. Okay, I'll bring it the day before Yontif. You can't say that. There's no obligation to bring it earlier. And the same thing is true for the for Hakel as well. The mitzvah of Hakel, I can't say, okay, we're going to have to move it. Okay, let's postpone it to an earlier date. There's no obligation yet. So first, the obligation has to kick in, and then we observe it. So if I can't do it on Shabbos itself, so then I'm going to push it off.
Chagiga is like a shlamim, right?
The Chagiga is a shlamim.
So you'd be able to keep the meat for the next day.
It's not Docher Shabbos.
But you have kashrut before that.
Okay, good. Which we'll discuss later this morning.
No, it's not Docher Shabbos. You do sacrifice Friday and you eat it on
yeah, I understand that, but there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation. The obligation only begins on Yontif itself. So we can't. You can call it a chagiga, but it's not. Simply not a chagiga. Okay, let's ask and answer the following question: why can't they do hakel on Shabbos? Meaning, what's the problem? Everyone is getting together, congregating. Okay, so congregation on Shabbos, that's good. What's wrong with it? So Rashi over here addresses this question. So Rashi, again, I go back to the Mishnah, the Rashi and the Mishnah. And Rashi addresses what is the concern, the consideration where the rabbis took hakel and postponed it to the day after, to one day later. So he quotes a Yerushalmi. Rashi at the end, the long Rashi of Chagiga, Rashi at the end says, "Eif sharam avino salamacha uve gemar Yerushalmi mefaresh." Quotes a gemar Yerushalmi. The hadalah abdina lebishabbos mimnei habima. It's because of abina. There was a platform that was created. That was built. So in the temple courtyard, on the day of Hakel, the Sukkot after Shemitah, so what occurs is that they build a temporary platform in the Azara. So the Yerushalmi asks a simple question, which hopefully everyone here is thinking, and that is, okay, so just build it the day earlier. What's the big deal? So the answer that Yerushalmi gives is that it's too much activity going on in the Azara. We cannot inconvenience the Kohanim in the Azara by building a platform a day earlier because the Kohanim need to work. So basically what we're going to be doing is we're going to be building it for the day of Hakel itself, on the day of Hakel. Or if you want to envision, I know everyone's trying to figure like, really, you're going to build the entire platform in just one morning? All right, so maybe the night prior. But to build it on the day before, so it's going to be a tremendous inconvenience to the Kohanim working, so we won't do that. So we're going to have to push it off because of the Bima. It certainly sounds like, the way Yerushalmi is making this argument, that the Bima is such an essential component to Hakel. Meaning, can't we just simply do Hakel without the Bima? Meaning, it seems like from the Yerushalmi, no. It's such an essential component that I need the Bima, that we're going to take the event of Hakel and push it off a day later. Okay. Notice, by the way, that the Gemara did not give an explanation for Zman HaSeh Kohanim. Okay, that's an accurate observation. Meaning that the Gemara explained why Tisha B'Av we move later, why Chagiga we move later, why Haka we move later. The Gemara does not explain Zman HaSeh Kohanim. If you take a look at Rashi notes that. Rashi writes, yeah, that's a good question. I'm looking myself. Zman Chiyuvayu. In the long Rashis, it's 8 lines down. Rashi writes, the same thing is true for Atzei Kohanim. Shekavu lehem zman, kavu b'nedarim. So Rashi writes over here, we're going to give the same argument. That the same argument as we gave for the Chagiga and as we gave for Hakel, which is, the Zman Chiyuv hasn't arrived yet. Meaning that these families are given specific dates. They can't bring the carbon any day earlier, because their obligation hasn't kicked in yet. Their obligation only kicks in when the date actually occurs. So right, Sinah. Remember the family of Sinah who have the 10th day of Av. So prior to the 10th day of Av, they don't yet have an obligation. So only on the 10th day of Av. Now, if the 10th day of Av falls out on Shabbos, so then they're going to have to bump it off to the 11th day of Av. And the reason why is they don't bump it earlier because their Zman Chiyuv isn't kicking yet. Okay, that's how Rashi explains it. Back to the Gemara. Tisha B'Av Akhtum Eprasa Maktich HaGiva HaKa Mishim Dakaz Almat Zman Chiva. Tana. We are in the Gemara. We're about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Chagiga. V'chol Zman Chagiga Ma'achrin. The Gemara here quotes a very cryptic Braisa. The Braisa says Chagiga and Zman Chagiga are delayed, are made later. What does the Braisa mean? So the Gemara will give us no less than 3 explanations of what the Braisa actually means. So the Gemara says, look, if I just had the first words of the Braisa, the first word of the Braisa, I'd be fine. The Chagiga gets postponed. Okay, I get it. When Yontif and Shabbos coincide, so then the Chagiga gets pushed off to the next day. The carbon Chagiga. But what does that mean, Zman Chagiga? The time of Chagiga. The time of Chagiga never gets moved. The carbon itself may get moved, but what does that mean? The time gets moved. The Gemara asks, "Elah Basa Shabasa, Elah Zman Chagiga Mahi." What in the world does the Braisa mean when it says the Zman Chagiga gets delayed? What does that mean? So, explanation number one. We have 3 explanations all told. Am Rav Oshia Achi Kamar Chagiga B'Shabbos Va'Olas Re'i Afilu B'Yom Tov. The Zman Chagiga Ma'achrin. So, explanation number one, that the Chagiga is brought on Shabbos and Ola Tri'iyah even on Yontif, because Zman Chagiga gets delayed. What does that mean? It goes back to what we learned together back in Masechta Beitza. The Gemara here quotes, Mani Beishamai Didnan Beishamai Omrim Mevin Shlamim B'Yomtov Ein Shlamchan Aleihem. According to Beishamai, you bring your Shlamim on Yontif, meaning your carbon Chagiga you bring on Yontif. You do not do the Mitzvah Smicha Avalo Olas, but you don't bring your Ola Tri'iyah. We will learn, next Masechta coming up is Chagiga. We're going to learn together that there are 3 Karbonos that are brought every Yontif. The first 2 Karbonos that are brought every Yontif is Shami Chagiga and Olas Re'iyah. Shami Chagiga, according to Beis Shammai, that you bring on Yontif. Olas Re'iyah, which, so ironic, it's an obligation to bring the Olas Re'iyah on Yontif, but you don't bring it on Yontif. You'll bring it the day after. Every single Yontif, according to Beis Shammai. Why should that be? Because it's an Ola, it's a Lachem. Right, you have to when you bring a carbon on Yontif. I'm not talking about the carbon seaborn, but we're talking about the individual obligation carbonus on Yontif. You have to eat it. The Ola we don't eat, so therefore, according to Beis Shammai, you don't offer it on Yontif. So when do you offer it? The next day. And Beis Hillel says, no, on Yontif you bring your Shlami Chagiga, you bring your Ola Sriya on Yontif itself. You do the mitzvah smicha anyway. So, pshat number one of the Braisa is that the Zman Chagiga, Rashi explains, there is another carbon every single Yontif. There's going to be a carbon that I'm going to bring after Yontif. What will that be? The Olas Re'iyah. Who is that according to? Beis Shammai. That's one pshat in the Braisa. Number two, Rav Amar Chagiga Zman Chagiga Machrin Tfeilo. Now, the second pshat in the Braisa is that Zman Chagiga means how long do I get after Yontav in order to bring it? Zman Chagiga, as long as it's still Yontav. Did not we learn in the Braisa Mishalochag B'Yom Tov Rishon Shalchag Cholgeg V'Holech Es Kol Aregel Kulo V'Yom Tov Achron Shalchag Av Aregel V'Lochag Inu Chayev Ba'Achru Yasa. Braisa says, actually it's a Mishnah, that if I don't bring my Chagiga on the first day of Yom Tov, I have the entirety, the balance of Yom Tov, meaning the balance of Chol HaMoed. I even can go to Shmini Atzeres, meaning if it's Sukkot, for example, so I can even go to the eighth day, because the eighth day is still Yom Tov. I have, that's what it means when it says Zman, Zman Haregel. Zman Chagiga. Meaning I have the entirety of Yontif. A third shot, that offered by Rav Ashi Amar Chagiga V'chol Zman Chagiga Ma'achrin V'afil Atzeres. The Chayuma Ma'achrin. So another shot is that when we say you have Zman Chagiga, it means even for Shavuos, which is only a one day Yontif, I still have Yemei Tashlumim, 7 days of makeup. Did not modim shimchal atzeres deos b'Shabbos yom tavoch achar Shabbos. That if Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, so then the yom tavoch, so then the day we're going to offer the chagiga and the olasim, the olas riyah is going to be the day after. Okay. Period. Okay, ad kan. That takes us to the end of this discussion. Moving ahead in the Gemara. Our next topic of discussion in the Gemara is going to be doing Malach on Purim. Are we allowed to do Malach on Purim, yes or no? Now, it seems to be a very straightforward question because everyone here in this room has experienced more than one Purim in their lifetime, and you pretty much know the answer is there is no way to Malach on Purim. Stay tuned for the Gemara that's going to now discuss. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Nata b'Netia b'Purim. Ready, planted trees on Purim. Okay, so we can broadcast this information. Even though this information now is approximately 1,800 years old, but now we can tell the world that Rebbe planted trees on Purim. And furthermore, Verachatz b'Kornos Shel Tzipor b'Shivat Sabbat Tammuz. And on the 17th day of Tammuz, some now 1,800 years ago, so Rav took a bath. He took a bath on Shivat Sabbat Tammuz. U'bikesh lakor Tisha B'Av, and he looked to uproot Tisha B'Av. Okay. Now that last line It's a memory. This last line is really difficult to understand, even on the surface level. He looked to uproot Tisha B'Av. Well, I understand that, but the simple explanation of the Gemara over here is that the observance of Tisha B'Av, he looked to uproot. That is really difficult to understand. If you take a look at the second Tosfos on the Amud, Bikesh Lakor Tisha B'Av V'lo Hod. I'm sorry. I left out three words. V'lahodulo, they didn't agree to him. Okay, they didn't agree to him. But what was he thinking? So Tosfos writes Kasha. Tosfos says, "Just I have such difficulty understanding." Hey, Chisakadach, the High Tana de Rebbe, Haya Rotsa Lakor Tisha B'Av Lagamrei. Really? Meaning, just on the surface level, he looked to uproot Tisha B'Av. V'ha Arminan Kol HaOchel V'Shose B'Tisha B'Av Ein Aro B'Nechamashol Yerushalayim. You don't need to remember more than a week back to the Daf Yomi, where we said that if you don't observe Tisha B'Av, you're not going to see its comfort. Tisha B'Av, of all the fast days, right, it's high up there. Meaning, it's not Yom Kippur, it's not Daraisa, but on the Derabanan scope of things, I don't need to state it. It's understood how significant Tisha B'Av is, and just what is going on in the Gemara over here. Tosfos is bothered. And even if you want to entertain the idea, well, maybe as an act of Beis Din, we're going to uproot Tisha B'Av. No way. In other words, Tosfos says, we learned this on day one of Megillah, right, 3 days ago, that you can't have a later Beis Din uproot an earlier Beis Din's enactment unless they're greater. And, right, the Tisha B'Av goes back to the Nevi'im. The Yesh Lomar, the Lomar Asa La'okro, Ela Mechom HaSheish Bo Yos Mishar Taniyos. So, suggestion number one of Tosfos. Rebbe, of course, is not going. He wasn't suggesting that Tisha B'Av should be uprooted. But what he meant is that Tisha B'Av should be no greater than the other fast days. Meaning, should be on the same level of fasting as Shivas Arba Tammuz and Nesar B'Teves, and maybe that's what Rebbe meant. One suggestion of Tosfos. A second suggestion, Inami, Yeshlama de Ratzalakro, Michio Lakova Basiri. maybe what Rebbe was suggesting was move it from the ninth day of Av to the tenth day of Av. And we saw back in Masechet Tanis, he wasn't the only one who suggested that. Rav Yochanan ilo hava hasam kviyasa ba'asiri. Remember Rav Yochanan's statement that if I were there in the generation of those who established Tisha B'Av, I wouldn't have made a Tisha B'Av. I would have made a Asar B'Av. I would have made the tenth day of Av, because we learned back in Masechet Tanis that they started the fire on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, but really the burning itself occurred, majority of the burning occurred on the tenth day of Av. Rav Yochanan says, I wouldn't have instituted the tenth day of Av. And maybe, says Tosfos, that's what Rebbe was advocating. So two explanations of Tosfos, what exactly Rebbe was suggesting when he was saying he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av, either uproot its special status and put it on the same playing field as Shiva Sarbatamas and Asar B'Teves, or Tosfos says maybe it means just move it from the ninth day to the tenth day. Although, to be fair, that doesn't seem like what he's saying, but the simple pshat is so difficult to understand, so that's why Tosfos gives two different explanations. Okay. Amar lefanav, back to the Gemara. Amar lefanav Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, Rabbi lo kacha yamaisa ela b'tisha ba'av shechalas b'shabbat hava v'dachin la'achar Shabbos. Now, immediately the Gemara says, now look, that's not what happened. What happened was is that Tisha B'Av fell out on a Shabbos, and so therefore we're moving it, as we learned in our Mishnah, to a later date, meaning Sunday. And it was on this that Rebbe said, well, anyway, we're not observing Tisha B'Av on the ninth day of Av, so you know what? It just gets bumped. That's what Rebbe was suggesting. Not to uproot Tisha B'Av, but rather just simply to move it. Once it's going to get moved anyway, what Rebbe was suggesting is this year we're not going to observe Tisha B'Av. And on that the Chachamim did not agree. So Karelah Tov Mashnayim Mina Echad. And on that he quoted the pasuk in Kohelas, you know, two heads are better than one. Meaning you're right. The way I presented it, no good. The way you presented it, much better. And what Tosfos was doing was just simply explaining, even in the initial presentation, so hard to understand what the Gemara was even thinking, and that's what Tosfos was doing. He was giving two explanations to the Havamin of the Gemara. So the Gemara now goes back to the first testimony of Rebbe. Rebbe planted trees on Purim. To which the Gemara said, how can he do that? Purim. Okay, now that's not a strong argument, just by me uttering the word Purim. But the Gemara says, that I'll give you a strong argument. So that when the Megillah describes Purim, it says, it's Simcha, Mishta, and Yom Tov. That's the words of the Megillah. And the Gemara says, Simcha, Melami, Shasrim, Baspik. Number one, there's a prohibition, you're not allowed to eulogize on Purim. Number two, Mishta, Melami, Shasrim, Baspik, you're not allowed to fast on Purim. And Yom Tov, Malami Sha'asa Basias Malacha. And it says Yom Tov. The Megillah says Yom Tov. And therefore, you know how to do Malacha and Purim. So, essentially now, and I know this is going to sound strange to us, and yeah, you got to wait till the end of the daf, but essentially to us, the Gemara is saying pretty clearly, well, of course you don't do Malacha and Purim. And so the question is on Rebbe. Rebbe, how is he planting trees? Planting is one of the 39 Malachas. So how are you planting trees on Purim? So the Gemara says, well, maybe in defense of Rebbe, maybe he was observing the 14th and he planted on the 15th. So Inibah, Rebbe, it's very hava. So the Gemara says, oh, slow down. First of all, factually, it's not true. Rebbe lived in Tveria. Tveria mukefetz chomim, yamas Yeshua ben Nun ave. Tveria had a wall around it going back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun. And so therefore, you're reading it in Tveria on the 15th. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. We'll correct the facts. Rebbe lived in Tveria. The reading of Megillah and the observance of Purim in Tveria was on the 15th. He planted on the 14th. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. Chizkia, who lived in Tveria, read the Megillah on the 14th and on the 15th, because he was unsure historically whether or not there was a wall in Tveria going all the way back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So out of a suffix, he read both on the 14th and on the 15th. Okay, Chizkia misafkalei l'Rebbe pshitalei. So the Gemara says, okay, Chizkia didn't know, Rebbe knew. Okay, that always is difficult for us to understand, meaning Chizkia had no tradition, Rebbe did have a tradition. For now, let's just simply say that's so. V'chi pshita le'i mishari v'aksiv v'migilat tani says yom ha'ba'asar Yom Chamisar Yom Asar Yom Epur Yinon Dolom Misbad Bahon. So the Gemara reminds us back to Megillas Tanis, a record of days in which we're not allowed to fast and eulogize, and 2 days recorded in Megillas Tanis of the 14th and 15th day of Adar. The Amar Rava, and on this we explained Lo Nitzucha El Alasur Shel Zebe Zebe Shel Zebe Zeh. Why record Purim in Megillas Tanis? Answer: because both days are observed regardless of where you live. Meaning, if you live in a walled city, 14th is still a day of Purim. If you live in an unwalled city, 15th is still a day of Purim. You're not allowed to eulogize and fast on either of those days, regardless of where you live. And right now, the Gemara's thinking is, well, the same thing is true for Malacha. So the Gemara's answer is, Hani milabas, but if a tanis of a Malacha, yom echad v'stulo. So the Gemara says, no. Megillas Tanis is just prohibiting fasting and eulogizing on both days, irrespective of where you live. Malacha is only going to be relative to where you live. If you live in an unwalled city, you can't do Malacha on the 14th. If you live in a walled city, you can't do Malacha on the 15th. Ini v'harav chazel ha'ugavad ha'vakashad ha'kitna b'purya v'lat yeh v'lo samach kitna. So the Gemara says, what about Rav? Rav saw somebody soaking flax on Purim. Rav cursed the individual and cursed the flax. And as a result of Rav's curse, the flax didn't grow. Ha'asam bar yuma hava. So the Gemara says, well, he cursed him on the day, meaning the guy was soaking flax on the day of Purim itself, meaning not on the other day. Meaning if let's say it was the 14th day, so he was soaking flax on the 14th day. It wasn't that he was soaking flax on the 15th day. Rav would not have cursed the individual on such a day. So do you understand now, for the last 20 lines of the Gemara has just argued, how could Rebbe plant a tree on Purim? You're not allowed to do Malacha. And right now, what the Gemara has presently argued is, he planted it on the other day. Meaning, if Rebbe observed Purim on the 15th, let's say he did, because he lived in Tveria, and let's say that Tveria is a walled city going back to Yeshua ben Nun, so what the testimony is that Rebbe planted the tree on the 14th. For 20 lines of Gemara, I'm guesstimating, for the last 20 lines of Gemara, the Gemara now has just been arguing, you're not allowed to do Malacha on Purim. Okay, now, if everyone's thinking to themselves, this is a strange place to stop, because we do Malacha on Purim, so stay tuned, because we are right now in the middle of a discussion on the Gemara. Tomorrow, we'll conclude with probably the place where you thought we were going to conclude. You are allowed to do Malacha on Purim, but right now, the Gemara has been arguing that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Purim. And if we are allowed to do Malacha on Purim, so what do we do with the Drasha, where the Gemara Darshan, that one of the identities of Purim is that it's the Yontif, right? That's what the Megillah says. So if it's the Yontif, what does that mean? Well, we do Malacha on Purim. Stay tuned, that we're going to answer in tomorrow's class.